WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And although we'll do our best to get you started, it will be a bit of a somber day today because not only is it September 11th, which, you know, of course, always deserves a day of reflection for the events that happened 24 years ago. And we'll certainly get into that. But of course, also, I'm sure folks want to discuss the tragic killing, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, who many of you probably know. His program aired here weeknights on WBSM. If you didn't know who he was, if you didn't listen, I mean, he was probably one of the most popular broadcasters out there today. So in addition to all the work that he did going out to like college campuses and speaking with the students as he was doing yesterday, he was a podcaster as well. And as with many of the podcasters who are gaining significant audience, the syndicated radio networks come calling and they say, hey, we'd love to have you do a live radio show. And just because of the nature of how those radio programs work and the, I guess, you know, it's just because they give you a show and they make a big deal out of it and they syndicate it nationally and all that stuff. It's not exactly job security as anything in the radio or media or entertainment industries may be. So they stick with their podcast too, and they keep doing that as well. And also it gives them kind of that unfiltered place where they can, and they can say, you know what, I've only got 45 minutes in me today, or I can talk about this topic for 3 hours. So they continue to do their podcasts, and so they're reaching a variety of different audiences. So even you might say, well, how did somebody who was on AM talk radio get so popular when, you know, that's considered passé, I guess, for the college crowd who are probably more podcast people? I would say that's not exactly true. Certainly our demographics don't bear that out. We have a lot of people, 18 to 35, that listen to WBSM. But anyway, the bottom line is many of the people who are coming out to see him would know about him through his podcast, through social media, through clips on YouTube and other formats. So obviously, he was a significant figure. And so when we had the opportunity to add him to WBSM, we were thrilled to be able to do it. Now, I don't agree with him. There was very little that I agreed with him on. One of the most fascinating interviews I heard him do was with a former top OnlyFans model. And she had found Jesus. There's clips going around where, you know, she talks to him about that. At one of these campus appearances, and she kind of explains who they are, and I guess they became friends, and he gave her the opportunity to tell her story. But the whole time I'm listening, I'm like, this conversation in my mind is fundamentally flawed, because this woman is being hypocritical toward people that she was in the same situation, and she had no empathy for them. And I was just listening, and I was like, this is just somebody, she just she wasn't making any money probably anymore, or didn't want to do that anymore, and switched the flip the script. Like I was, but it didn't matter because they're still listening, because the conversation was so engaging. I didn't agree with either person, but I still kept listening because it was that engaging, and that's why, you know, loved having that program on the radio. And also, that also made yesterday a little bit chaotic too, because that program, when we air it at 10 o'clock at night, is pre-recorded, because he actually airs live at noon, or he aired live at noon during the day, and we would record it and then play it back later, because obviously we've got local programming at that time. And so I realized, after getting the story out and having conversations in the office about this, and then I realized, wait a minute, we're going to run a show with him as if nothing happened, because it was recorded before he went to speak at that school. So I had to pull that out, and thankfully Salem was putting on that 3-hour tribute to him last night, so we were able to run that instead. And I think they did a great job with the amount of time that they had to pull something together. You know, someone sent me a email and said, I don't know if you're aware, but something's wrong with your radio station. It's playing a bunch of music. And that was the show that they were syndicating was playing that. And I think part of that was because they're still trying to like pull people together. So play this song while we get this person on the phone, or connect with this person online to be able to bring them on. They did a great job considering they only had a couple of hours to pull all of that together. So I don't know what the plan is in that spot, by the way, just before anybody asks. I'm expecting we'll get some correspondence today from the network about what they plan to do. And we will pass that on to you when we know it. But in terms of what actually happened, listen, there's no other word to use for it. Tragedy. That's what it was. Tragedy. Heinous. It shouldn't have happened. Although he was influential in politics, Charlie Kirk was not a politician. I was watching someone saying yesterday, I think it was, I can't remember. There was a lot of different folks that came up on the television. But someone pointed out that, you know, he had no personal political ambitions. He didn't want to run for office. So he wasn't a politician. Not that a politician should be any more subject to violence than a pundit. But, you know, this was, I said this last night to someone, and I didn't mean it to sound in any way trite. But for conservatives, this is like losing their Martin Luther King. This was a person who was, for them, the voice of where they wanted to see America go. And someone who apparently didn't agree with that, and we don't know because the suspect is still at large, you might have gone to bed with the news that someone was in custody. But they actually had taken two people into custody for questioning. They had taken two people in for questioning and released them both. So as of right now, at least as far as the latest ABC News update that we had at the top of the hour, the suspect remains at large. And so I saw, again, some of the folks that were talking about it on television last night. When I go home and I turn my television on, I leave my television on CNN. And so that's the first thing that pops on when I turn the TV on. And sometimes I'm like, nope, I am not watching this tonight. And I put something else on. Or sometimes I just, you know, want to see what it is that they're talking about. And last night I caught it just as I got home, just as Anderson Cooper was ending and Caitlin Collins was beginning. And she had Mike Johnson on, the Speaker of the House. And he said, you know, that something had changed on Capitol Hill after this, that there was a palpable sense of we've got to kind of stop doing what we've been doing. And I saw President Trump make similar remarks of, you know, we've got to end the divisiveness here. And then he went into, you know, divisive rhetoric. But the point is still the same. Like, this is what's happening. We are seeing this more and more where there are people who are mentally ill, who are taking, absorbing what's happening in society and absorbing the rhetoric that's in society and allowing that to become twisted in their, I shouldn't say allowing, they can't help it, but it's getting twisted in their minds to the point that this becomes the answer for them. And we've got to get back to a point where there's some civility in the conversations. Now, others have been critical in saying, well, you know, I don't think that Charlie Kirk was very, you know, of that mindset. The people who believed in what he said and liked what he said, you know, they talked about him like he was Gandhi, you know, that he was completely peaceful and loved everybody. And you know, he was always just trying to have the best intentions of America at heart. And then you have other people who are saying, no, he was a horrible person. He was a homophobe and a racist and all that. And so even in trying to bring people together, that divisiveness is continuing. But here's the thing, kind of both things can be a little bit true, and both things can be vastly overstated. And I think the problem is we just pick those sides and we don't ask the person why they feel that way. And it's not, see, there's a way to do that too. And I mean, I'll say, like I said, I didn't agree with Charlie Kirk on anything, but I did agree with the style in which he would have some of those debates with people. Like, listen, I it's being portrayed as, well, you know, the idea, the mindset behind going to these college campuses and engaging in these debates was to have these exchange of ideas and to bring up alternate points than what he felt like might have been what the colleges and universities were presenting as the worldview to students. He wanted to come in and give them the more conservative worldview and then engage them in debate to make them think and be active participants and all of that. And yeah, I think that's part of it. But I also think that he liked to go into colleges and debate kids who, let's face it, are idealistic and don't understand how the real world works sometimes. And, you know, it was kind of his chance to dunk on some of them. And it makes for good social media clips and it helps build up your support. So I think, you know, there's a little bit of both of that, which is fine. That's what a person in the entertainment industry does. But even in doing that, he always would say to somebody, well, why do you think that? What makes you think that? And it was not in the combative way, like, show me where that, you know, show me where he said that. Show me where that happened. Send links, send proof. Like, it wasn't in a combative way. It was more of trying to understand how you got to that position, how you got to that take. And again, I didn't always agree with where he was going with it. But not a lot of people, myself included, ask that question. Not a lot of people ask, well, what makes you feel that way? Like, why are you seeing it that way and I'm seeing it this way? You know, the old meme that gets shared around on social media to prove people will fight about anything, here's a photo of a stick. And then you get the comment, it's not a stick, that's a branch. And then it goes back and forth. But nobody ever says, you know, well, why do you think it's that? So I don't know how much of this healing of the divide comes out of this, but I'd like to think it's a chance to have that happen. So that at least this senseless act of violence doesn't happen in vain. But I think also I think things are a little bit too far gone, at least at this point. And I hope that that's not true. And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you know, and Donald Trump is going to continue to stoke this. That's not what I mean by this. What I mean is, as long as he is still on the scene, the divisiveness will continue because people don't get past their feelings for him one way or the other. And they can't understand why somebody else feels differently about him. And that just trickles down. That's a big part of where the divide comes from. Not anybody, you know, fueling it one way or the other, but it really just comes from an understand. Like Barry Richard, who is an unabashed Trump supporter, I've heard him say he can't understand why people can't see how great Donald Trump is. And then I sit here and say, I can't understand why you all can't see what a dumb con man he really is. And we're both intelligent people. We both look at the most of the other things that we talk about here on the air in pretty much the same way. We might have some differences of opinion, but at least we're not way off base with it. But yet there's something that we just can't understand the other person's perspective on. And I think that makes it harder to kind of heal some of this. But also, you know, Mike Johnson had a great point that, it kind of has to start with the leadership, the government. They've set this example. They've made it a team sport. And now we need to see if there's a way to dig ourselves out of that. And I hate to belittle the times that we're in, but it's happened before in America, many times over, and America has come back from it. There has been many times when political divisiveness was... So when we say, oh, this is the worst we've ever seen, it's not. But it might be the worst that we've ever seen in our lifetimes, and then it becomes on us to fix it like other generations who have gone down this path have done. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I am going to take my first break of the morning here, and then we'll get the news with Mike Roberts. Back in a few moments.
The president and vice president remember 9/11. COVID no longer a top 10 cause of death, and concerns growing over using AI chatbots.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance letting America know what their plans for 9/11 are.
President Trump will attend a remembrance ceremony at the National 9/11 Pentagon Memorial in Arlington, Virginia. Later, Trump will be in New York watching a Yankees-Tigers baseball game in person with families of fallen 9/11 first responders. Vice President J.D. Vance will be in Manhattan at Ground Zero for the annual 9/11 commemoration. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
President Trump says conservative activist Charlie Kirk has died after a shooting on a college campus in Utah. It happened yesterday during an outdoor Turning Point rally at Utah Valley University near Provo. Kirk was shot while speaking to hundreds of students. We'll have more on this throughout the morning at WBSM.com and at the top of the hour with ABC News. More than a dozen people facing legal trouble after being arrested by Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday.
Capitol Police confirmed the arrests of 14 housing protesters in the Dirksen Senate Office Building cafeteria. The protesters were arrested for crowding, obstructing, or incommoding. President Trump's control of the Metropolitan Police Department in D.C. was set to expire on Wednesday, but the National Guard's order was extended through December. I'm Brian Shook.
COVID-19 is no longer in the top 10 leading causes of death in the U.S., according to data from the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics. The top three leading causes of death now are heart disease, cancer, and unintentional injury. Data found The death rate fell by 3.8% in 2024, which signals a decline to pre-pandemic levels. Researchers suggest fewer COVID-19 deaths are likely driving the decline in the nation's overall death rate. At least three students injured after a shooting at a Denver area high school. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office says the shooting happened at Evergreen High School around 12:30 yesterday afternoon. Sheriff spokesperson Jackie Kelly says more than 100 first responders headed to the school as quickly as possible.
I understand the worry and the concern. Like I said, the entire metro area came up here to help. A lot of them self-deployed, and we sure appreciate it because you don't know what you have until you get here.
The first ever clergy sex abuse civil trial against the Catholic Church in New Jersey starting this week, and it involves a well-known Catholic school. Here's Scott Pringle.
There are numerous allegations against Del Barton in Morristown related to alleged abuse by a monk that date back to the 1970s. The trial kicking off this week involves a lawsuit filed by a former student who's accusing the operator of the school for allowing the alleged abuse to happen. Other abuse allegation cases involving Del Barton and others against the Catholic Church in New Jersey have previously been settled without the church admitting liability.
Concerns are rising over children using AI chatbots after reports of questionable and even dangerous interactions, particularly using Meta's platform.
Robbie Torney with Common Sense Media, which advocates for young people, says Meta's AI safety systems are inherently broken.
We did testing of core safety functionality that should have been there. And when we simulated users in crisis, the system regularly failed to help.
Meta says new safety measures are being put in place to prevent its AI from discussing self-harm, suicide, eating disorders, and inappropriate topics with teens. Senator Edward Markey of Massachusetts has called for a ban on minors even accessing chatbox, claiming he warned Mark Zuckerberg 2 years ago about the dangers. He says his concerns were ignored. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
It was the A's over the Red Sox yesterday afternoon, 5-4. Sox off tonight. They'll host the Yankees tomorrow night at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We're looking for tons of sunshine for today, and after a rather chilly start, temperatures should top out near 75. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low near 56, and the sun will shine again for Friday with a high closer to 70. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, and it's going to be a nice day today. It's going to be a little bit on the warmer side, a great day to get out and throw something on the grill for dinner this evening, and you can get that by stopping by the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. But it's not just about, you know, the meats that you can grill. Everything else that you want to make, stew beef, or actually, you know, any kind of beef you want, any cut, they've got it all. Pork, chicken, seafood, lobsters. But what they also have that you don't find in a lot of other places is that personal touch and personal connection. So when you come into the Butcher Shop, if you go back and get all your meat there again and again, you get to know the Pinaretta family. And they get to know you, and they know exactly how you like it. And then they put something aside for you because they say, hey, I know how you like this, and we were running out of it, so I want to make sure you got some. That's the kind of personalized service at the Butcher Shop that you don't get at supermarkets. You know, you'll hear supermarkets tell you how they want to treat you like you're part of the family. Well, at the butcher shop, you are. So stop in and just walk around the store. See all of the things that they have. Like I always say, it's an old school neighborhood market, a little bit of everything. You've got your beer and wine. You've got your cheeses from around the world. You've got all your snack items. So when there's a football game you want to watch on Sunday, you can get all your snacks and your beer and everything else that you need all in one shot, including the steaks or the burgers to throw in the grill, the chicken wings. And what's also great about the butcher shop, they do platters as well. So if you don't want to have to do the cooking when everybody's coming over, that's okay too. They can take care of that for you. So stop in 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford and see all that they have to offer at the butcher shop. My number here, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails, both available to you on the WBSM app. We can talk more about Charlie Kirk if you'd like to do that. Also, of course, today is September 11th. If you'd like to discuss that, we can do that. That's always on the table every year on this day. I've told this story before, but I was working at Mill Pond Diner that morning. So at that point in time, I had decided I was going to take that fall semester off from college. So I was going to be done in, I think, 2000, but I had to work. And so working and being able to make money and survive kind of took precedent over finishing some of the stuff I needed to finish. And I didn't know what I was going to do with my degree anyway. When I got it, I was an English major, political science minor. And so I was actually contemplating changing things up. One of the things I thought about was maybe becoming a lawyer, going to law school when I finished. But there was a lot of things going on. And I said, I'm going to just build up some money. And then if I'm going to do that, then I can have a reserve so that I can just focus on studying and not have to do two things at once. Because at the time, you know, I was working way over 40 hours a week. So, and going to school. So I was trying to find a balance of all that. And so I said, let me just take some time off. And so I wasn't in school at the time. And as such, I started opening at the diner. And so I was the first one in that morning, 4 o'clock, 4:30, whatever time we went in back then. And then the chef came in at probably like 7 o'clock, started doing all the heavy cooking for the day. And I remember, so that was a Tuesday, and we had, every Friday we would make chowder. And at Mill Pond Diner, we made natural broth quahog chowder, not New England style creamy clam chowder. We made natural broth quahog chowder. And people would come from all over for it because you couldn't get that anywhere else. And so the chef that day, for the first time ever in the morning, said, you know what? I'm gonna take some of that chowder because they've had it since Friday. And I'm going to doctor it up and I'm going to make Manhattan style out of it because we never have that. He goes, I want to see if I can do it. So he made Manhattan style clam chowder that day. Later on, after what happened, he looked at me and he goes, well, I'm throwing that out. But we were just having a regular morning. I remember it was kind of slow. And then the waitress came in and said, did you hear what happened? Because we had a radio in the back. And we said, no, because the chef used to listen to his CDs or the hip-hop station or something. And so we're like, no, we didn't hear. Why? What happened? She told us about how the first planet struck. And she lived like within minutes of the diner. So she went and got a TV and brought it back. And we watched it. And she turned it on in time for us to see the second plane hit. And so we're all glued to this little portable TV she has in the back of the kitchen. And, you know, no, there were no customers. Nobody had, you know, this is 9 o'clock in the morning. It was our slow time. And so we're all just kind of watching what's unfolding. And then a guy came in and starts yelling, hey, can I get some service? And so the waitress goes out and she says to him, she's like, did you hear what happened? And he's like, what? And she says, well, the planes just struck the World Trade Center in New York City, and it it might be a terrorist attack. And he looks at her and said, well, I don't give a damn about what's going on in New York. I'm here and I want Eggs Benedict. Okay. And that will always kind of stand out in my mind, those two things. One, that guy being a jerk. And two, the chef looking at me and being like, well, I guess I'm throwing out that chowder now. Because that was the one time he had decided to do Manhattan-style clam chowder. But I remember at that time, you know, the person I'd been dating, we had kind of broken up a little bit. And we had just started kind of getting past some of that and talking again. And she said, like around 10 or 11 in the morning, she called and she said, you know, can we get together tonight? I just want to hang out and talk. And so that we did. And it was just an awkward kind of feeling for everybody of not knowing what was going to happen next. I mean, I remember that being the concern is what's going to happen next. Like, what's the next shoe to drop? We were waiting to see if more things like this would happen. And that combined with the immediate spirit of patriotism, I think was that defining era. And I remember feeling like, well, we're going to be different now. And it didn't last, but for a while we were different. We were the best version of what this country can be. But then just remembering, you know, trying to get back to regular life. I was working also at night as a sports writer at the time. Not going to school, I said I'm going to use all that time that I was spending to make even more money. So I was basically doing two full-time jobs. And I would go and cover, you know, high school sports. And in fact, September 11th was supposed to be my first day on that job. That night, I was supposed to go cover the desks, the desk at Standard Times. Basically, what would happen is somebody would go in and sit at a desk and answer the phone when all the high school coaches would call to report their scores and then write what we called the high school roundup. And this was going to be my first time doing that. And they were going to be training me to do that. I had just gotten hired, you know, a couple weeks before on a part-time basis. I remember the editors said, we're going to take you out to eat and talk to you. And I said, okay. And they said, where do you want to go? You can go anywhere you want. And I went to Turks because my girlfriend worked there at the time. And so, you know, I expected they were offering me a full-time job, but they couldn't do that. So they offered me some part-time work. And that was going to be I was supposed to go in and do those phones. And I remember Jonathan Comey calling me at about, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or so and saying, you know, we're not going to need you tonight. Everything's canceled. I said, yeah, I figured. And it took a couple weeks before, you know, they started playing those games. But even just going to cover like a soccer game after that, people were nervous. In fact, I had a cell phone at the time that was like prepaid minutes. And I said, you know what? I got to go and I can't run the risk of like running out of minutes and forgetting to refill the card or something. I've got to go out and get like monthly service. I was hesitant to do it just because I didn't want to pay for it. But then I did it because I was like, I'm going to want to make sure I have this if something happens so I can call people. So I can call 911 if I need to. Although you could do that with a prepaid phone that didn't have service too. But anyway, the coming out of that, you know, it was actually WWE was the first organization to bring a mass group of people back together again for one of their TV shows. And then people started going back to sporting events and to the movies and things of that nature. And you started to feel a little bit, okay, like, okay, things are going to be okay. And then I got the chance to start covering the Celtics, and I'm there one night in December, and there's a suspicious powder. They thought that there was anthrax. Then there was another night where there was an odd smoke that filled the Arena Bowl, and they evacuated the building. So there was all these little things that still kept going on that made us always be on edge. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails, both on the WBSM app. I'm going to take my next break here, and we'll be back. And welcome back. And that is the B-52s. And coming up in a couple of weeks, we will be giving away tickets to see the B-52s and Devo at Xfinity Center. That show's coming up beginning of October. But we'll have your chance to win tickets coming up in a few weeks here. Right now, this week, we're giving away tickets to see Mount Joy. You can enter to win that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And that is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. But I want to give you an update on another contest that's going on. So we've been telling you about Cape Air's new service that starts on September 29th. You're going to be able to fly from New Bedford to Boston, 35 minutes gate to gate. And you're going to be able to be flying over all the traffic, all the road work. You're going to pay pretty much the same as you're going to pay for an Uber ride, maybe even less. And you're even going to get to go through TSA in New Bedford and not have to worry about it when you get to Boston. So it'll be a lot quicker. The other part of it, too, is in flying out of New Bedford as opposed to Boston, if you're going to park your car, you can park it in New Bedford for $10 a day as opposed to $50, $60 or more per day at Logan. So it's going to be easy. It's going to be affordable. It's going to be your new favorite way to get to Logan, and it starts September 29th. And I did mention that Chris McCarthy and I were going to be there next week broadcasting from the airport, but they've actually decided to move it, and we're going to do the broadcast. Both of us will be there on the 29th, the day that they're launching this service. So you'll be able to come down and talk with us down there. But they're also doing a giveaway where you can enter to win a pair of passes on Cape Air just by going to WBSM.com and completing a few simple tasks. You just got to go to the Cape Air website through our site. You have to like them on Facebook and follow them on Instagram and all that. And when you do that, you're going to earn an entry each time for that prize of two free passes on Cape Air. But they've also been telling us how they're giving away two Nesson box seat tickets to see the Red Sox versus the Athletics on Thursday, September 18th. And all you have to do to enter that is stop by the airport, walk over to the Cape Air counter, and ask the agent about the New Bedford-Logan route. Just for inquiring about it, they will enter you on the spot to win those two Nesson box seat tickets for September 18th. But they have changed the date. We had been saying that you had until the 17th to get in there and enter, but they're going to draw the winner at the airport this Monday, September 15th. They decided that they wanted to be able to make sure they had a couple of days to make sure the person got the tickets and were able to make plans to go to the game. So they just moved that up a little bit. So on Monday, September 15th, they're going to draw that, so you have until Sunday to get down there to enter. So again, you want to win the Red Sox tickets, just go into the airport, go up to the Cape Air counter and ask about the New Bedford-Logan route, and they'll enter you to win. If you want to win free passes on Cape Air, go to WBSM.com or the WBSM app. All right, I've got one more break I've got to get in here before the end of this hour. Let me do that. We'll be right back.